Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole strength, with thy whole heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole strength, with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind, and with all thy strength. These are the words taken from today's Holy Gospel from St. Mark. Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Today's gospel gives us a most important teaching from our blessed Savior, how to love God and how important it is. The dramatic scene is a well-intentioned scribe, unlike some of the other scribes who were testing Jesus, because this is a sincere man, wanted to know which is the greatest commandment. Because among the Jews, they argued among themselves which was the most important, the first or the second or the third or the fourth. So Jesus gives them the teaching, as we saw in the first reading, how to love God. If you love God with your whole heart and your whole mind and your whole soul and your strength, all your strength, you will do all the commandments, because love encompasses everything. And to love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two great commandments, and they are so important for us, of course, because they encompass all the commandments. And you may wonder, how do you love God with all your heart? St. Bonaventure tells us we love God with all our heart by preferring nobody to God. We can't do anything for somebody because they're my friend, or they're my son, or my daughter, or my wife, or my husband. That is in opposition, is against the law of God. We cannot prefer them. If they ask us to do something for friendship's sake, we cannot say, we cannot do that, because it's not of God's law. We must love God with our whole heart and Him alone, all right? And all other loves secondary to Him, and all because of Him. How do you love God with your whole mind? You love God with your whole mind by thinking only of God, having Him present in your mind at all times, as much as you can. Recollection, thinking of God. How do you love God with your whole soul? Your will is the highest faculty in the soul. So you love God with your whole soul by not committing sin, by not willing sin. I will not do this, because this is against the law of God. And how do you love God with all your strength? By giving all that you have. Exert as much effort as you possibly can. And if you love God with your whole heart and soul and mind and strength, you are encompassing all the laws. And then, of course, you love your neighbor as yourself. The love of God and the love of neighbor are interrelated. You cannot love the one without the other. So we see, as St. Paul tells us in the Ephesians book, letter to the Ephesians, the bond of charity. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, we see. And how do you love your neighbor as yourself? In the epistle to the Ephesians, Paul says, walk in the manner worthy of your calling, with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, and with patience, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. The bond of charity. The bond of charity between all of us. All of us who are related to one another in family and friends and so on. We have the bond of charity with the virtues of patience, meekness, and humility. And if we practice those three virtues with people, we will see, we will keep the bond of charity. St. Francis of Assisi would say, be patient and kind in all things, not just in some things, even difficult things. As you know, people can be very difficult, and we have to practice sometimes heroic patience. So be patient and kind in all things. This is the bond of love, the bond of charity that unites us with God and unites us with one another. St. John Chrysostom would tell us, bond most glorious, bond most admirable, which unites us with one another, and then, thus united, unites us with God. So, bond of love, bond of charity, glorious bond. So when we're united with one another, then we're united with God. When we love our neighbor, we love God. That's simple. And who is the source of this union? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit aids us. The strength of this bond is the strength of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the bond of love in the soul. He's the Holy Spirit of holiness and love. He forms these who love in holiness and love. We must get rid of selfish rivalries, grudges, and dissensions, says St. Paul, because these all hurt the Spirit. The Spirit of love and holiness unites us to God. All right? And this is what holiness is all about, practicing charity to those whom we see, and this will help us, of course, to practice the love of God. The love of God equals the love of neighbor. If we do not love God, how can we love our neighbor? And if we do not love our neighbor, how can we love God? St. John will say to us, if anyone says that he loves God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For how can he love God whom he sees when he hates his brother whom he doesn't see? So we must love God through our neighbor. This is how we approach God. This is how we come to God. And this is how we show our love for God. The second commandment, which is the love of neighbor, flows from the love of God. The more you love God, the more you will love your neighbor. The less you love God, the less you'll love your neighbor. If you don't love your neighbor, you won't love God. And if you don't love God, you won't love your neighbor. They work hand in hand. Both, we might say, opposite sides of the coin. Right? The love of God means the love of neighbor, and the love of neighbor means the love of God. Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me. Whatever we do to the least of his brethren, we do to Jesus. St. Augustine would tell us, who can love Christ without loving with him the church, which is his body? Who can love Christ without loving him with him the church, which is his body? So when we love our neighbor, we love Christ, and we love all those in the church, which is the mystical body of Christ. At the general judgment, when we die, the Lord will say to us, I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And the Lord, we will say, Lord, when did we do this? And he'll say, whenever you did this to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. So this is how we're going to be judged, how we have respected our neighbor, how we have helped our neighbor, right? So if we want to know Jesus Christ and we want to love Jesus Christ, we have to love our neighbor. St. John Chrysostom would also say we need to practice also the virtues, the corporal, spiritual works of mercy, those aforementioned ones that I just mentioned about feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty and so on. Those are the bodily works of mercy, corporal works of mercy. They're very, very important. Because when we see our neighbor in want, we should help him. But also we should help them spiritually. You don't hear a lot about spiritual works of mercy. But they are also equally as good. And I'm sure we practice them anyway without maybe alluding to it or averting to it. We practice the spiritual works of mercy, which is, of course, to counsel the doubtful, instruct the ignorant, comfort the sorrowful, pray for the living and the dead, convert sinners, forgive injuries, and bear wrongs patiently. So all those are important, those spiritual works of mercy. To pray for sinners, to convert sinners, to pray for the living and the dead, to instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful. These are all works of mercy, charity. Because if we love God, we have charity towards our neighbor, right? And whatever we did to one of our brethren, whatever you did to the least of my brethren, Jesus will say, you did to me. So today we have a most important teaching of our faith, a teaching about the love of God and how the love of God is seen and how we love our neighbor. Because how can we love God if we don't love our neighbor? So when we leave Mass here today and we go home, we take everything with us. We can't just say we love God at Mass and praise and honor him and receive Holy Communion and so forth and so on, and then go home and fight with everybody we meet. All right? You can't do that. Right? That's not right. You have to be patient with everybody. All right? We may have disagreements. All right? You may tell your family that they should have gone to Mass today, or somebody should have done this and should have done that, but you do that in love, and you do that with kindness, and you don't get angry, right? You don't bear grudges. You don't have dissension. As St. Francis says, I mentioned before, be patient and kind in all things, and always praying for the souls of these people that are not practicing the faith, because that seems to be the things that go wrong in most of our lives. Most of our disagreements come from those who are not with the faith, and in these days we know there are many. So if we truly love God with our whole heart and our whole soul and our whole mind, we'll do all we can and prefer God, prefer nobody to God. We have to love God completely. And if we truly love God completely, we want to do what's good for our neighbor, especially his soul. And therefore, we want to pray for the souls of people because, as you know, my friends, in this day and age, with many people not going to church, right, whatever it might be, 20 to 30, 40% of the people in America go to church, the majority do not go to church on Sunday. We need to pray. We need to pray for their souls. Right? How else are they going to save their souls? Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. Okay? I am the living bread who comes down from heaven. If anyone eateth this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I give is my flesh for the life of the world. The spiritual work of mercy is to pray for sinners, to convert sinners. Right? And therefore, we must pray for all these people who have lapsed. That's what Our Lady said at Fatima. To pray and sacrifice for many souls who go to hell. It's hard to believe. They'll go to hell. How could they exchange this world for eternal punishment? Doesn't make any sense. And as you know, we have the new religions today. They're going shopping on Sunday, going to football on Sunday, doing this and so on. This is the new religion. People don't have to go to church. They can pray at home. That's what they think. But are they receiving the body and blood of Christ? Are they getting fed with the word of God? No. The church demands that we go to church on Sunday. It's important. This is our obligation because the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the greatest act of worship we can have. The priest will offer the body and blood. This is my body which will be given up for you. This is the cup of chalice of my blood which shall be shed for you. Here we have Calvary. And then we get fed with the blood, body and blood of Christ. Communion, we're united with Jesus. That's what the bond of charity is all about. When we love our neighbor as ourselves, there's a bond of charity. And when we love God with all our heart and mind, that's a union with God, a union of love and holiness that the Holy Spirit inspires in us, because we're spouses of Jesus Christ. We're his spouses, we're his beloved, right? That's what Holy Communion is all about, the union of Jesus in our souls. We're united with our beloved spouse, Jesus Christ. And of course, that's what we're going to be doing in heaven, loving God for all eternity. It begins here with the love of God and the love of neighbor. And we practice the love of God by showing patience and kindness to our neighbor. Because how can you say you love God, whom you don't see, when you hate your neighbor who you do see? Or you're impatient with him, or you're angry with him. We have to be patient and kind in all things. That's not easy, so we pray for that. We pray that the Lord would give us an increase in patience and kindness and meekness. That's the acid test, meekness. Never getting angry, like the beloved St. Vincent de Paul and St. Francis de Sales. They were noted for their patience and meekness. Never getting angry. The saints didn't get angry. They were always patient and kind. So that's the way we have to do. That's how we will win people over, by preaching a sermon every Sunday. Every Sunday when you leave Mass, go home and preach a sermon. Don't repeat my sermon, but preach a sermon without words, St. Francis would say. Always preach a sermon. Sometimes use words. So you preach a sermon today by your patience and your kindness. And then you will win over people, because then you'll show them that true religion is a religion of the Spirit, that is a religion of virtue and love, the love of God and the love of neighbor. Because that's what we're going to have to be doing up in heaven. It's all love. Here on earth, it's a little more difficult to love, but up in heaven, when we're purified after purgatory, we will love God completely. Everybody will love one another. The bond of charity that St. Paul talks about. So we love God with our whole heart and soul and mind, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. Then heaven begins here on earth, and we'll be happy for all eternity, loving one another, because we'll be with God, who is love itself. May the Lord bless you.
Fructum ventris tuum.